Help me welcome Brother Eddie Goddard as he comes to preach to us this morning. God bless you, Brother Eddie.
Hey, good to see you. Good to be here. You get a certain age, it's good to be anywhere. On this side of the grass, right? I was born in West Virginia. I have a lot of West Virginia jokes, you know. I heard about a West Virginia man and his wife bought a brand new car a while back. And the dealership said they were going to fill up full of gas. They got the car and went about 5 miles up the road and stopped. And he pulled over beside the road and he looked at his. He said, well, they didn't put any gas in this car, honey. That West Virginia woman said, well, honey, will it hurt to drive it home like this? You know, West Virginia's not supposed to be too smart. Don't trade guns or dogs with them. They'll burn you. You'll find out how smart they are. But it's good to be here. I want you to take your Bibles this morning. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. There's one thing about me. I preach fast, talk fast, preach fast, and I get hungry kind of around lunchtime. So don't worry about it, okay? I want you to stand with me. We're going to pray, and then I'm going to read a few verses of Scripture, and we'll get right into the message. Again, good to see you. Today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. We sang about it, cleansing small sins. And as the brother Creech sang, we thank you. We got so much to thank you for. Lord, you've been so good to us all the time. You've helped us and blessed us when we didn't deserve it. We thank you for that. I pray for all these folk that are here this morning, got needs in their life. I pray, Lord, something be said today that'll help them and will help them have that need met. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In 1 Corinthians, it said, behold, I show you a mystery. In verse 51, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruption shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at this verse. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, you may be seated. You know, most of you were. And you, good Baptist. And we do what we want to, right? And when God saved us, he gave us a new spirit, but he didn't give us a new body. When I left church that night, I left there with the same old body I always had that's subject to pain and sorrow and discouragement and disappointment and death. But he says one of these days he's going to give us a body and won't be any more sickness and we'll have victory. This mortal will have put on immortality, this corruption, put on incorruption. And one of these days we're going to get it. But let me tell you something, we haven't got it yet. But then God says something else. That's a great promise. But he says to us, he said, but thanks be unto God which gives us the victory. Then he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. He said, I want you to abound in the work of the Lord all the time. Now, you ever heard of a part-time preacher? You know, there are a lot of preachers that are part-time. Up in West Virginia, they have part-time churches, part-time preachers. A lot of Christians are part-time Christians. Listen, how would you like to have a part-time wife? She's your wife about 99% of the time, but about 1% of the time, she did her own thing and went out to Las Vegas. You know what happens in Las Vegas stays in Las Vegas. You don't want any part-time wife. You don't want any, you women, how would you like to have a part-time husband? You say, I got one. But, you know, I saw a program on 2020 one night, and this Mormon, and had some of his wives, or he had 40 wives. I figured that out. 40 wives, that meant she had him about 9 or 10 days a year. The rest of the time she was without a husband. How would you like to have a part-time God? How would you like to say, the Lord is my shepherd? You'd have to say, sometimes. And sometimes, he's not. How would you like to say, he holdeth my hand? But you'd say, sometimes. I'm one of his sheep, sometimes. You wouldn't like that. You see, our faith is based upon the truthfulness and the faithfulness of God. Listen, he's an all-time God. Now let me let you know, he doesn't want any part-time church members either. He doesn't want any part-time Christians. You don't want a part-time wife, part-time husband. You don't want a part-time God. Listen, he doesn't want a part-time Christian. He said, I want you to be unmovable always. That means all the time. Always. Now that's all the time. I want my wife to be always my wife. You want your husband to always be your husband. You want God to be always your God. Well, he wants us to always be abounding in the work of the Lord. Amen. You know, I'm going to give you 48 things. That's what Brother Rollo, if you say, I'm going to give you 38 things. He doesn't preach an hour. Just a few things. Number one, listen, we ought to always strive to please God. Amen. You know, the Bible says, Jesus said, I believe John 8:29, he said, I do always those things that please God. You know, our desire ought to always be to please God. Listen, you say, what pleases God? Well, I know what doesn't please God. I know more what doesn't please God than pleases God. You know, he said there's 6 things God hates, yea, 7. And a proud look displeases God. You know, I don't believe God likes strutters. He loves them, but he doesn't like them. You know what a strutter is, you know, just, man, look at me, you know, like I'm some. Listen, you know what we are? We're sinners. Everlast. I know one thing about everybody in here, you're a sinner. So we don't have anything to strut about. None of you would like for your life to be flashed on a screen up there this morning. You'd leave town, you'd leave the country. You never show your face again. You say, why? Because we're all sinners and we've all failed God. We've all done things that we're ashamed of in our life. We're sinners. God hates a proud look. He hates a discord sower. Said he hates them. Proverbs 6:16, he said God hates a discord sower. God hates a liar. I don't like them very much myself, do you? And because they'll cause you a lot of trouble. Hey, but listen, we ought to always, all the time, every day, 24/7, and 365 this year, 366, because it's leap year. We ought to always strive to please God. Always. Listen, are you part-time? I mean, do you know what? If we acted out of church like we acted in church, you know, we'd be pretty good. You don't see anybody elbowing or cutting people off or talking ugly to people in church. I mean, we come in here and dress up. Lord, you'd think we was waiting for a place in the Trinity. I mean, look at us. We are at our best right now. Hey, but how about when you go out that door? How do you act at home? Listen, if any place we ought to be a Christian, I ought to be a Christian in front of my kids and my wife. If you're always, all-time Christian, number one, you ought to always strive to please God. always. And then Jesus said that men ought always to pray and not faint. Always praying. You know, hey, there's times I can't do anything but pray. I mean, my hands are tied. I can't do anything about it. But I can always pray. You say, well, I pray and nothing happens. Listen, God, you say, does God always answer prayer? God always answers prayer. Sometimes he says no. Hey, aren't you better be glad God hadn't answered some of your prayers? I better be glad God hadn't answered some of my prayers. I've prayed some dumb prayers, and I look back and I think, man, I'm glad that didn't happen. You see, God is all wise. We just a little bit wise. He's omniscient. He knows what's best for us. And listen, we ought to always be praying. God always answers our prayer. I saw Billy Graham's wife, Ruth Graham, one night on Larry King, and he was asking her about prayer. And he said, does God always answer your prayer? And she said, well, I'm glad God hadn't always answered my prayer. She said, if God would have answered every prayer that I prayed, she said, I'd have married the wrong man 40 times. I was listening to a tape one day. This guy's a preacher, and he said he went off to seminary, and he was engaged to this girl, and said she wrote him a Dear John, and she's going to marry somebody else. And said he said he went into depression, said he fasted and prayed, and he said he begged God. He said, God, please, please change your mind. God, please, I know it's your will for her to be my wife. And then he said one day he got a somebody sent him an article from his hometown, and she had married somebody else. Then he said, I married the woman, not that I asked for, but the one God gave me. And he said, at our school, we had our 25th class reunion. And he said, I'm sitting there looking at that girl I prayed for, and I'm looking at my wife. He said, my wife looks so much better than her. And I said, God, thank you for not answering that prayer. Hey, sometimes God just too good to answer our prayer. But God always answers prayer. Has God ever answered a prayer for you? Hey, the Bible said men ought always to pray and not to faint. All the time. Every day we ought to pray. We ought to ask God to help us in the morning. God, help me to please you today in everything that I do. Do you always pray? Praying always in all prayer and supplication. Praying all the time. Hey, we ought to always try to please God. We ought to always be praying. You know, my granddaughter and my daughter, two granddaughters and my grandson. My daughter is a nurse. She lives in Florida. And one summer, she said, I'm going to send the kids up for a couple weeks, bring them up for a couple weeks. And, you know, oh, there's a reason God has you to have your kids while you're young. Somebody said, you know what grandkids are? They're God's reward for not killing your kids. And they're like, but I had all of my, I had those three grandkids. They're supposed to stay a couple of weeks. Well, my daughter said, well, I can't meet you this week, and we're meeting down in Georgia. Then the next week, I'd be going. I said, we can't meet you. And listen, that went on for 2 months. We had them, listen, they like to drove me crazy. The girls were all right, but the boy was always hitting those girls, and he said, I didn't do anything. And I told my daughter, I said, anytime there's a fight between them, I said, whoop him. I said because 99.9% of the time he is going to be guilty. And I made him lay on the bed one night, and he said, I ain't ever coming back to your house. I said, is that a promise or a threat? I was about ready to say, you got that right. Well, listen to me. And the last night, the night before we were going to meet him down in Tifton, Georgia, you know how kids are. Jennifer said, Pop, can I pray? And so she wouldn't say the blessing. And she thanked him. You know how kids are. They thank God for everything in the country. And finally get around, thank you for the food. And then she said this. She said, Lord, I thank you that this summer that Stacy and Joel and I, we got to come up, Mama and Pop-Pops, and said, we got to stay 2 months. I said, Lord, I pray that next summer you let us come up here and stay all summer. And my wife looked on me. She said, God ain't going to answer that prayer. And I said, amen. Hey, well, listen, the Bible says we ought to be full-time. We ought to always try to please God. Hey, we ought to always be praying. Then the Bible says we ought to always be ready to give an answer. We ought to always be ready to proclaim what Christ has done for us. 1 Peter 3:15, it says, be ready always to give an answer for the hope that's in you. We ought to always be ready to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes we're scared, aren't we, to tell. Have you ever been scared to witness for Christ? I have. And you know, sometimes I'm as bold as a lion, and sometimes I'm a coward. You know why I believe God says go out two by two? Because if I got somebody with me, I'm bolder. But just you, sometimes you're afraid. You know, one day, I was walking, and I'd pass this place, and I'd see a lot of people there. And this guy pulled in his big new truck as I was walking, and I'm telling you, the Lord laid on my heart to witness to the guy. Man, I'm telling you, the awfulest fear came on me, and I went right on by, you know, this place just clicking. And as soon as I passed it up, man, I felt, Lord have mercy. I felt like a coward, and I was. It's about a quarter of a mile back around, all the way around her. I said, God, give me boldness to go in there and witness to that guy. At other times, I'd walk right into a business, and where a pastor walk right into their office and tell them what about Christ. But, well, not that time. But, hey, by the time I got back around there, son, all that fear gone, and I walked in there, and I said, can I help you? And I said, yeah. I said, I'm just looking around. I said, there's about seven guys sit out there on that porch all day. What it was is scratching those lottery tickets. And I knew what they're doing. I said, I just want to know what you got here that would cause people to sit out here for 8 hours. He just kind of grinned. And I said, no, I came here to ask you a question. Are you a Christian? Are you saved? Do you know Christ? Here's what he did. He said, you know what that means? You're not. Listen, if he didn't know the Lord, nobody knows. He said like that. But I told him about Christ. Hey, but listen, I wasn't ready when God told me to say anything to him. Be always ready to tell. Hey, we ought to always be ready to get the gospel out. Missions is about getting the gospel, not just here in Benson and Raleigh. Hey, but we ought to be ready to get the gospel out, the Bible says, into all the world and preach it to every creature. You see, we got a global message. So, that's 38 more. We ought to always be pleasing to God. We'd always pray, always ready to give an answer or to proclaim Christ. Number four, we ought to always be praising God. You know what the Bible says? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. If I were to ask you this morning, you know, how many of you feel like you got something to praise God about? Let me see. Oh, I say. Think about how God fixed our heart. You remember what kind of heart you used to have? You know, it used to be, I mean, I hung around bars and all that stuff. And sorry, like 90% of people, just sorry. Then one day I went to church. I went in there condemned. I went in there a sinner. And I left there, God had fixed my heart. He gave me a new heart. You know, I quit going to the bars and the pool room. I went back and paid my bar bill, paid the guy at the pool room, always borrowed money from him. You know, that's the way sinners do. You spend all your money, then you borrow back from them. And but listen, I'm telling you, God fixed my heart. Made restitution for stuff I'd done. Went, paid bill, did a lot of stuff. But God fixed my heart. Changed my mind. Broke some bad habits in my life. I had a lot of bad habits in my life. One of them was, right? I believe I'd have been dead. I used to smoke 3 to 4 packs of cigarettes a day. I should change. My fingers were yellow. You know these kind of clothes you got now made out of this material? Listen, I've almost burned wool pants off of me. You know, I don't. I'd have gone home without a leg in my pants the way it is now. But God broke some habits. I'm glad He did. Oh, I'm not putting you down if you do. I'm just telling you, I'm glad God broke those habits in my life. Listen, cleanse me from all of my sin. Reach down, pick me up out of the miry clay. Set my feet upon a rock. Establish my going. Put a new song in my heart. Listen, even praise unto our God. Listen to me. We got a lot to praise God for. We could talk about His greatness, His goodness, and all that stuff. Hey, but listen, what kind of a Christian are you? What kind of a Christian am I? Am I a part-time? Full-time? Or just a little bit of that. You know, some people just a little bit. Some people are Christians on Sunday morning from 11 to 12. I had church members. They just live exactly like they always live, except on Sunday morning. Listen, what kind of a Christian are you? The Bible says, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Go give you this. I'll tell you something else I got to praise God about. God mended my home. God mended my home. Do you know, when God saved me, I weighed 123 pounds, soaking wet. My wife said to me one time, she said, honey, she said, when I hug you, I feel like I'm hugging myself. I've got a little bit over that. Put on a few pounds. Amen. But listen, my wife and I were going to divorce court. And I was so stupid, I didn't even care. But you know, one trip to that altar, God mended my home. I was married 53 years last week. We've never had a crossword. you know that's a lie. I told somebody, a guy said they'd never had an argument. I said, well, I don't know about that. Our church says, we've been married 50 years, we've never had an argument. And I said, Maud. She said, that's right, isn't it, Fred? He said, yes, ma'am. Hey, look here. I can tell you this. I can tell you men one thing. I've never won an argument. My wife and I have had a lot. I've never won an argument. If you win, you lose. Amen? I hate to see a woman cry. But listen, let me ask you, what kind of a Christian are you this morning? Are you part-time, full-time? Or do you always, listen, I don't always please God. I want to. I'm telling you, my desire is to please God all the time. But sometimes I fail. You say, what are you doing? You fail. I ask God, forgive me. Just God, forgive me. I'm sorry. Acting like a heathen. Acting like a used to act. Are you always praying? Are you always ready to give an answer? Proclaim what Christ has done for you. Are you always praising God? When you're on the mountain, when you're in the valley, hey, God's down there too. I want you to bow your head with me this morning. And while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, let me ask you this morning. How many of you here this morning and you say, "Preacher, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if I died right now, I'd go to heaven." Let me see your hand. You say, I know I'm saved. I know if I died, I'd go to heaven. You may put your hand down. Now listen, if you couldn't, and I don't want to embarrass anybody. If I'd have been embarrassable, they'd embarrass me the night I got saved. They came down and got me. But listen, if you could not raise your hand that you know that if you died, you'd go to heaven. Wouldn't you like to know that? And you just slip up your hand and say, "Preacher, pray for me." Anybody like that? God bless you. God bless you. I see those hands. Anybody else? "I want you to pray for me, preacher. I need God. I need to know that if I died, I'd go to heaven." Two precious people raised their hand. Now listen, if you're here this morning, let me ask you this, and God's been good to you, and you lift your hand and say, "I want to thank him for what he's done." Let me see your hand. I want you to stand with me. Our Father, we come to you. I pray for those that raised their hand that have said, didn't know if they died, they'd go to heaven. Lord, I went to church like that one time. Lord, I was so lost and undone and miserable. And Lord, you reached down in that little country church and lifted me up, and I thank you for that. I pray for these. And Lord, for all those that raised their hands, I want to thank you. We want to thank you today for all the good things you've done for us, for being with us, sticking with us, forgiving us. Help us today. Bless an invitation, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, we're going to stand, you already stood, and sing. And how many of you come this morning and thank him for what he's done? You know, every once in a while, I do something for somebody. But I kind of appreciate a thank you. Don't you? I appreciate, well, thank you. Thank you, preacher, for what you did for me. Don't you ought to think, you ought to thank God this morning for what he's done? Just step out and come. Listen, what we sing, tell a thank him for what he's done. You got to look back to the crucified one. Isn't God good? Oh, the Bible says, "Oh, that men would praise him for his goodness, for all of his wonderful works to the children of men." Listen, if you're here at the altar and you don't know you're saved, would you slip up your hand and somebody will come and help you? Anybody like that? You say, I'm here and I don't know that if I died, I'd go to heaven. Slip up your hand. Anybody like that? Anybody like that? If you raised your hand that you didn't know that you'd go to heaven and you'd come, listen, somebody would take a Bible. You know how I got saved? Simple. I called on him and then somebody took a Bible and showed me what God said and I just believed on him. Listen, I'm telling you, it's been different since Jesus came into my heart.